Welcome back to another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. I'm co-host Josh, the J-Man Munch. Sitting next to me is Tanner, T-Dog Lee. How you doing out there, T-Dog?
Doing good, J-Man. Doing good. Can't complain. It's almost a three-day holiday weekend.
That's right. I mean, I've said this before, but I always call Memorial Day the unofficial first day of summer. So.
Yep, I like that. Even though it's early this year, I think it's the earliest it can be. Yeah. I think so too.
There's 31 days in May. Well, yeah, 31 days in May, and it's the 25th this year, right? So yeah, it would be the earliest it could possibly be. So I thought it was kind of sneaking up on me a little bit. So glad it's here.
Yeah, me too. Of course, it's a big, big week for the state of Indiana, where I'm located, Indy 500 week. So that gets most of the attention. So. Not that I'm a big race fan or IndyCar fan or anything like that, but I do respect IndyCar a lot more than I did when I was younger. When I was into auto racing, I was a way bigger NASCAR guy. But now I think if I had to sit down and watch a race, I'd rather watch IndyCar now than NASCAR.
Can't say I want to sit down and watch a race. I'm sorry.
I would expect nothing different.
Yeah.
I expect nothing different. But I did bring some birdie or bogey with me. This evening, kept it geography related. Jeez, I can't talk. And I've had this one in the holster for a little bit, and then you pulled that one out last week. I'm like, this is, I think, fitting to go with last week's question. Sure. What is the least populated city, or smallest city, if you will, to have exactly two of the big four professional leagues represented in their cities? So
exactly,
they have two teams from either the NHL, MLB, NBA, or NFL.
All right. I have no shot to get this. I'm pretty good at geography. There's this new game that's come out that I play every single day. It's a guy on Twitter created it, and it's a sports geography game where there's five questions, and you have to go on a map and point to where it is, and you get points. I don't know if you've played that or seen it.
I just started playing it last week. Friend of the show, Austin Faust, text me randomly, send me a link to the game. Yeah. So I've started playing every day, and I play against my dad. My dad and I play against each other now every day in that and in the Barstool Dozen trivia game. Oh, so, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been doing that. Today, I think, was my best day I've had.
Me too. I got 900 today.
I only had one in the yellow. Everything else was green.
I whiffed on Mike Trout pretty hard. I didn't know where he was from, but all the rest I got really close. So.
I can't remember which one I got in the yellow. It might have been, I don't remember, Dirk, where he was from. Or I knew it was Germany, but I think right. I put it a little further away than it should have been. But
right.
Yeah. But anyway.
No, it's fun. It's fun. It kind of takes me back to, you remember in middle school we play, I believe it was called GeoSense?
Yes. Yeah.
That's kind of what it reminds me of, but. You had to answer the pro or sports-related questions.
Yeah, which, of course, we like sports-related questions more than school-related questions.
Yes.
But birdie or bogey is brought to you by Juretti's Place. And let me see if I can bring up the read here real quick because I was not prepared tonight, per usual. I've been in a nice stretch of pulling up the Juretti's Place read. Juretti's Place, small town vibes, big time flavor. Juretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites to keep you coming back for more. 703 Main Street, Rochester, Indiana.
Yeah, and last week they had specials going on Thursday through Saturday. They had Mexican chicken street tacos, cheese curd burgers, and then they had their soup lineups, loaded baked potato, chicken and wild rice, cactus chili, broccoli, and cheddar. And then also Arlington Public House over the weekend. Let's see what they had. For specials, their weekend special, they had jalapeno popper grilled cheese and chicken street tacos.
Both those sounds fantastic.
And, of course, they had Thursday taco night, which was firecracker shrimp tacos, beret tacos, chipotle chicken tacos, and half-price margaritas all night long. So,
nice.
There you go. So follow them or like their Facebook pages if you haven't already to keep up to date with what they got going on this week and this weekend as far as specials are concerned. But we got quite a bit to talk about tonight. MLB rolling on. It was kind of rivalry weekend, if you will, which the what is it called? Town rivalry between the White Sox and Cubs had a little juice in it for the first time.
Did
feel like many, many years.
It was the first time both teams were over 500 during it since 2008.
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah, 18 years.
In like I titled this episode, the MLB needs rivalries because, in my opinion, it's been lacking intense rivalries for a while. So seeing the little interaction with PCA and the White Sox fan,
definitely,
I don't think that's a bad thing. Now it's going to get blown out of proportion.
Yeah, it already has.
I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, PCA apologized. I don't know what he said, but it was obviously pretty bad. He said, "I wish I wouldn't have said the words I said."
I saw one angle in what was supposedly he said, but I don't know 100% if that's what he said. But if it is, he probably shouldn't have said that. But in the heat of the moment, we all say things.
I understand why opposing fan bases hate PCA so much. Sure. I really do. But when he's on your team, you love him for the most part, unless he's, you know, in a slump where it doesn't feel like he's ever picked up a bat before.
So you're saying for Cub fans, he's like AJ Brzezinski was for White Sox fans.
Yeah,
maybe not to that level, but
it's a different sort of hate.
You love if he's on your team and hate him.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of guys that
Yadi Molina
qualify. Not Yadi. Yep. He wasn't super demonstrative and flashy. Kind of like when I would like Reds fans hated Javi Baez. I understood it, but they hated him. I always said they hated him for the same reasons they loved Brandon Phillips.
Yep.
He just didn't play for the Reds. Yep. So that sort of stuff. But no, I'm with you. It seems like MLB's been a little bit too buddy-buddy the past, you know, 10-15 years or so, and they need that hatred back of maybe not to the extent of beanballs and stuff like that.
Right.
But you need a little bit more competitive juice. I mean, they're all hugging in the outfield before the game. They're all friends and stuff, and I get it. It's a different era, but I've been listening to, I think I've said on the show, the Lovable Reunion podcast with David Ross and Anthony Rizzo. And Rizzo talks about how much he legitimately hated the St. Louis Cardinals when he was with the Cubs. And it started back when they stunk, because he came up in 2012 and they lost 100 games. Next year, they'll lose 90-plus. Next year, after that, they lose 90 as well. And he said those 3 years that the Cardinals coaches and players were super nice. Like, they'd come into the weight room before the game. They're giving us hugs, dapping us up and stuff like that. Then we started kicking their butt and they didn't show up in that weight room. So that sort of stuff. So we need to get more of that kind of juice back in.
Well, I feel like professional sports, NFL, you still have some good rivalries, but some of the rivalries in the NFL are kind of newer rivalries, from teams being good, not really those divisional or traditional rivalries. NBA's really lost rivalries over the years.
Yeah.
Really bad.
And really the NFL's almost gone to quarterback rivalries. I mean,
it's
started kind of with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, that sort of thing. They weren't traditional rivals at all. They just had two really good quarterbacks that were best of the bunch back in the 2000s.
Right. And they were winning their division every year, which made them play each other every year.
So. Yeah. And played each other in the playoffs a bunch, had to play each other to get to Super Bowls multiple times, stuff like that.
But in baseball, you have the unique situation of where you can have division rivals like the Cardinals and Cubs, but also the interleague rivals that are in the same town, like the Mets, Yankees, Cubs, White Sox, Dodgers, Angels, I guess, at one time, Giants, Athletics. I mean, those were some intense rivalries, all of those back in the day. Maybe not so much Angels, Dodgers, but the other ones were.
Yeah, definitely. And I think with the balanced schedule they have now kind of takes away a little bit of that, because now you're only playing your division, 12 games instead of 16, 18 games where they can really get under your skin then if you're playing 18 games, which is less so now. Where you have two home series, two road series, where it, you'd have, and interleague play is not even a big deal anymore, because it used to be growing up, and I used to love it, because for one, the pitchers hit in the National League, so I was excited to see who the Cubs DH was going to be any given day. But they also had like set times, like it was one in the middle of May. It was interleague play. Every team played a team from a different, from the different league. And now it's like, I mean, Cubs, obviously the crosstown rivalry is a little different, but like Cubs on a random Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, will play the Angels, and the Cardinals will that week will play the Brewers instead of, it's taken away the juice of that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You play every team every single year now. Instead,
yeah,
of,
that's a very good point.
You don't face, you know.
Why'd they do that? Why?
I don't know. It's a Manfred thing, which I've for years I've been on Manfred's case, but a lot of the stuff he's done here the past 3 years has been fantastic for baseball. I mean, you see ratings up and everything like that. People are liking him more, starting with, you know, the pitch clock has been huge. Instead of getting routine 3-hour and 30-minute games, I think they're averaging 2 hours and 45-minute games now.
Yeah.
The bigger bases. You have, you know, you can only disengage 3 times if you're a pitcher. So if he throws over, you know, 2 times, if you don't get him on that third attempt, it's a balk. So that creates more offense, more steals, stuff like that. Now the ABS has been fantastic for the game. Absolutely love it. Of course, I hate it when the Cubs get called out on a pitch that would have never been called a strike before, and it just nicked the zone. So that's frustrating just for me as a biased watcher of my team. But of course, I love it on the flip side if the Cubs get those calls. But
I think he's – fans have warmed up to him a lot more in the last 3 years, like you mentioned with the changes, than in Adam Silver's case, it's been downhill ever since his first 3 years.
Yeah, his first couple of years, I was like, man, love this guy. We like him more than Stern. The way he dropped the hammer on Donald Sterling there with the LA Clippers. Like, man, this guy's got something. Now it's just been all downhill.
You can argue that Stern was actually better, and I didn't think that was possible.
Well, Stern really grew the game of basketball in the NBA. I mean, it used to be just, you know, an American sport, essentially. Mm-hmm. And now it's global. Like, it's everywhere. You get players from wherever. And going back to Manfred, he has done a lot of good, and he could undo all of that good this offseason when there is an inevitable lockout. Yeah. So they're in such a good spot, it'd be a really stupid time for the owners to blow it up.
Yeah. We were talking about the Cubs last week, and we were going in. You wanted to at least go 3-3, I think. Was that the week before?
That was this past week. Okay. I don't remember.
Honestly. Yeah. Yeah. But they end up losing 2-3 to the White Sox.
Mm-hmm. To the Braves.
I didn't know how they fared against the Braves. That was last week. You said 3-3 would be fine.
Yeah. Because I think you asked.
You wanted to get one in Atlanta and then at least two against the White Sox.
Yeah. I think you asked, like, for those people that are you know, angry after losing 2-3, even though they they just won 10 games in a row. And I said something like, I think people will still be upset if they're 5-1. So I'm expecting 2-2.
Yeah.
But no, in Atlanta, the offense stunk. It was awful. They were in a 1-for-34 stretch hitting with runners in scoring position. The bullpen's been trash all year, and it continues to be a nightmare. And it really came to a head yesterday when Phil Maton gave up a 3-run homer to a guy that hadn't hit a homer all year. And then Ryan Rollison gave up a 2-run walk-off homer.
Did you have any tweets yesterday?
I haven't tweeted.
I want to go check because I feel like I didn't see any. But
I don't think I tweeted all week. I don't remember. I don't tweet much anymore with baseball. It's just I've been called out by some people because it used to be, you remember 8-10 years ago, I was tweeting probably 3 times an inning.
Yes.
So I was getting a good 20 plus tweets a game, but I'm like, it's not.
Yeah, no tweets. Your last tweet was actually a retweet of our good friend Cameron Screeton.
Yes.
Being named head baseball coach at Bethel University, which congratulations, Cameron, yet again.
Absolutely.
The last tweet from Josh Mutt was on May 10th about the instant replay.
Last Sunday.
Yeah.
Cubs got screwed on a very clear bad replay review. I don't find the need to tweet anymore. Cubs offense over the weekend did seem like they're starting to heat up a little bit more. The ironic thing about their series against the Braves, the offense stunk the whole time, and they did it against bad two starters that I would say are bad. The first two games against Atlanta, and then just like baseball does, they go and beat Chris Sale on Thursday. So it's just kind of how baseball goes. But offense is kind of heating up a little bit. Scored 10 runs Friday, 7 runs yesterday. But the bullpen continues to be a major issue for them.
And I know White Sox fans are pounding their chests a little bit right now. Yeah. Not only for taking two of three from the Cubs, but when's the last time they've had a winning record at this point early in the season?
Yeah, it's been a while. I think they're two games over 500.
Right there in the division mix. I mean, long way to go.
Long way to go. And that's a bad division, though, so they could stay in it. But, yeah, they have some good young talent. I think their pitching staff's legitimately good. Their bullpen has guys, every single guy coming out, it feels like it's throwing 98, 100 miles an hour. So at least that'll keep them in it for a while.
Yeah.
Now I've seen some White Sox fans saying which is what they did back, you know, a couple years ago too. We're taking over the city again. That sort of stuff.
Oh boy.
Which is just a
fun. I don't think they had the city in 05.
No, it was still a Cub City for sure, and it will always.
It's always going to be a Cub City.
I mean, I'm surprised they don't hang a banner, honestly, because taking two or three from the Cubs after they'd lost 12 of their last 13 to them. So no, honestly, they're much, much better than they have been. Obviously,
I get why their fans are. I mean, well, they got something to be excited about. I totally get it. I'm not calling them out for that, but
I was the same way back in 2015. You know, and the Cubs had stuck for 5 years, and all of a sudden, hey, we're a couple games over 500.
Right. You got to start somewhere.
Absolutely. I don't know how sustainable it is for them, but being as in that division, I think they'll be in it for maybe the long haul. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Some of the division races are not going the way I pictured them to go, to say the least.
No. The American League stinks. I mean,
not good at all.
Yeah, four teams over 500, including the White Sox. But you have the AL West leader right now is the Athletics, the Sacramento Athletics at 500 there at 23-23. Cleveland's four games over in the Central. The Rays are 15 games over.
Yeah, they got hot.
They have been three games up on the Yankees, who have kind of fallen back a little bit. Much like the Cubs, they've kind of obviously you're not going to win 10 in a row consistently like they have been. So and one thing that. Like, people are freaking out. They've lost six of their last nine. Okay. Before that, they'd won 20 of their last 23. So if you go out, you know, the last 32 games, they are – let me do math real quick. It is a Monday. They are 23-9? Yeah, 23-9 over their last 32 games. So it's hard to be all that upset about.
Yeah, that's – you take that and, six every or nine. Time.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. But – yeah, they're 11 games over. They have a game. They're a game and a half up on the Brewers and the Cardinals in the Central. And a big three-game set starts tonight in Wrigley against the Milwaukee Brewers, who the Cubs have won 15 in a row at Wrigley. So we'll
see. Holy cow.
Longest win streak in a long time for them. So we'll see if that can continue tonight.
Actually, we talked about that last week. I don't know why I just said holy cow.
I appreciate the
hype. I think I thought in the moment, I thought you said they've won 15 in a row regularly against the Brewers.
Oh, no.
And then I realized what you said.
So. Yeah, they usually don't fare well against Brewers. Wind is howling out tonight, which you'd think would help the Cubs a little bit because their offense has more firepower. But at the same time,
the rain
time,
came through earlier, right?
It did. We got some gnarly storms.
Rain and wind today. I looked outside. My neighbor has like this light post, and his light is sideways. The wind just blew it right off. Nice. I don't know.
I get home and my daughter's little sandbox had been blown across the our deck. So it must have been about 60 mile an hour wind.
Yeah, it was at least here. Like, it didn't last long, but whipped up in a hurry. And it blew pretty good.
It got pretty dark. I love myself a good thunderstorm. I think I've said it on the show before, but I took an intro to meteorology course at a community college. So I'm pretty much Jim Cantore.
You're right there. You need to start your own social media weather page.
I should. Look dark. Looks dark to the west. That's about all you get from me.
It's going to rain.
It's going to rain. I'm just going to post screenshots of actual meteorologists' Dopplers up there.
Oh, there you go. Anything else baseball related that you want to
hear? I don't have anything else. It's just it's going to be this way really until July. It's just kind of hold and serve. Cubs need to get healthy.
Could be the Mets though. You could be the Mets.
Yeah, Mets started to play some halfway decent baseball. They did find a way to hit a, I think they hit a two-run homer to tie it with two outs in the ninth, and they ended up winning in extras yesterday. But they're kind of bad.
They're getting injured too.
So they'll be a fascinating, I mean, they're 11 and a half games out of the East. They are see how much out of the wild card. I don't even know if they don't even have wild card standings out yet. They're, I'm sure, sizable out of the wild card as well. But again, it's May. But they'll be a fascinating potential seller at the trade deadline.
Let me see if I can look up how much they're out of the wild card right now. Let's see here. Standings, National League wild card. The Mets are, they're 7 back out of the wild card. So the only two teams in the NL behind them, Giants 7.5 and the dreadful Rockies 9.5.
Yeah. Dreadful Rockies, yes, they're dreadful, but
they are 18-29. I mean, better than last
better
year
than point, yeah, but definitely on a better pace. Not great, but but a better pace. But
your wild card teams right now would be the Padres, Brewers, and Cardinals.
Padres,
Brewers, and then NL. Right.
Speaking of the Padres, Fernando Tatis is, I think, one of the final two qualified hitters to have not hit a homer so far this year.
That's wild.
He has 193 plate appearances without hitting a homer. The crazy thing is his average exit velocity on balls in play. Can you hear me?
I got you now. You froze up for a little bit.
All right. My
I thought it might be me because I was having problems with StreamYard last night. So I was kind of sitting there in silence to figure out if it was me or you.
I started hearing a ringing in my ear, and I just thought I was going deaf there for a second. So I just powered through and kept talking. But
I got you now, though. Yep.
I have nothing else. Fernando Tatis hasn't had much power since he got busted for steroids.
There we go. That part cut out. So, okay. Yep. He was a Fort Wayne tin cap at one time.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
So, I got nothing else baseball related. I didn't watch a whole lot. So, but NBA playoffs. We know the Eastern Conference and Western Conference finals. They're set now. Western Conference, Oklahoma City, San Antonio. No surprise there. Eastern Conference, New York Knicks and Cleveland Cavaliers, who battle back from a 2-0 deficit in the series to end up winning that series over the Pistons in 7 games. So my bold prediction, one of my 26 bold predictions for 2026 was the Pistons would win the NBA Finals. Not happening.
Nope. I haven't watched a second. I take it back. I watched a couple minutes of the fourth quarter of the Timberwolves game on Friday night. But other than that, I haven't. I followed it a little bit, but it's nice to have. Well, I'd like to say it's nice to have some new blood in there. But you look at it. I mean, Oklahoma City won last year. Spurs won multiple times in the 2010s. Cavs won in 2016. It's really the Knicks that haven't done anything.
And then I like them a lot.
I'll be rooting for the Cavs. Although I don't know if they maybe James Harden can finally get there because he's kind of. Gotten close.
Yeah. Really. Well, and you were talking about, the Cavs did win in 2016, but that was LeBron. Yeah, it'd be cool to see a whole different squad and a whole different era of the franchise get there without him.
Yeah, that's fair. And I like Donovan Mitchell. They have some other good guys there as well that are pretty likable. Max Strus.
In that city always needs a winning team. They've been through a lot.
Yeah, they need to win. Browns stink. Guardians have consistently been good, but
But I mean, my goodness, has any baseball team have heartbreak city in the World Series like them?
No, not of recent, memory. Maybe the Blue Jays last year was pretty bad.
Yeah. But at least the Blue Jays grabbed two in the 90s.
Fair enough. Yeah,
you know where Cleveland lost to the Braves, and then they lost to the Marlins in heartbreak city. Then the Cubs, of course, heartbreak city.
They have the longest streak in Major League Baseball since the 50s. I think it was 54 or 46.
I think you're right. Yep.
But
But who do you like to make the finals?
I like Oklahoma City. Although I'm rooting for the Spurs.
Right there with you.
They're more likable. I don't think Oklahoma City runs through them like they have the first two rounds where they're 8-0. I think.
I think it goes at least 6.
I agree with you. I think it goes 6. My parents will actually be out in San Antonio next week during it. So that'll be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Man, in the East, I'd say Knicks are probably favored, but I say it goes 7.
I think the Knicks are 7-point favorites for game one.
That's at Madison Square, right?
Which will be nuts.
Yeah, well, Yeah, you have a bunch of celebrities and rich people there. Sure. You're not going to have the common fan. You'll see, you'll be seeing Chalamet and Ben Stiller and Tracy Spike. Morgan and Spike. Yeah,
you're right. You're not wrong. But I hope the Cavs win. But I think the Knicks are too tough. I think the Knicks go on to their first finals appearance since '99.
I agree with you. I think the Knicks.
It'd be interesting if the Knicks and Spurs meet up. That was the last time the Knicks made the finals was the strike shortened year, which Duncan and Robinson won their first one.
Yeah, okay. I mean, this could be Wemby's first one. Svon Castle, I think. I just think it's going to be OKC and the Knicks. And honestly, I think the West probably wins the finals regardless.
I think so.
But we'll see.
Yep. And I mentioned that I had – the Pistons is one of my 26 bowl predictions for 2026. So I thought I'd take a look and see how we're doing. Our predictions are aging. I'll go over mine real quick. My first one was the NBA will announce the return of the Seattle Supersonics. I think we're closer than ever right now, but it still hasn't happened. So that one's still to be seen. I said Bryson DeChambeau will re-sign with Liv. That's more up in the air than ever because Liv might not even be a thing after 2026. There's a lot of questions there. I said Tom Izzo will retire. I haven't marked it wrong yet because there's still time, but it looks like he's coming back. I said an MLB team will go from worst to first in their division. Got to see how that plays out. I said that Braden Smith would break Bobby Hurley's NCAA all-time assist record. I was right on that one. That was kind of bold in January.
That was bold in January for sure.
I said I have the Cubs win the NL, so we'll see about that.
We'll see.
Have the Broncos win the AFC West again, which the NFL schedule maker said you're going to have to get through a gauntlet the first 6 weeks if you're going to do anything with five playoff teams and the Chiefs.
Well, that's what happens when you win your division. You have to play a first-place schedule.
Yeah, so. But I would like it spread out a little bit more. But really, the middle of their
might as well get it out of the way.
Bad. Yeah.
I'd rather have a softer landing than a soft beginning.
True.
That's just me.
I said LSU would not make the college football playoff. Of course, we'll have to see how that plays out. I said Alabama will fire Kalen DeBoer. I said Tiger Woods will win a tournament on the Champions Tour. As of right now, he probably won't be playing at all this year, so that's not going to happen. I did get this one wrong. I said Purdue and Purdue Fort Wayne would both make the NCAA tournament. Yeah. Purdue did obviously made the Elite Eight. Purdue Fort Wayne did not make the tournament. I said this upcoming football season will be Kirk Ferentz's last season at Iowa. We'll see. I think Virginia Tech will make the college football playoff under James Franklin. He's done well in the recruiting trails, so we'll see. Pistons, I had them win in the NBA Finals. That's marked red. That's happening now as they're ousted by the Cavs. I said Ricky Fowler win the tournament. I still feel good about that one. He's still playing well. Had a really bad day yesterday, so he ended up tied for 60th in the PGA Championship. But
what was he coming into yesterday?
I think he was tied for 23rd or 21st, but he was like four back out of the league, maybe five back. Still had a chance if his putter got hot, but because Saturday he hit the ball so well. But he couldn't make a putt. And yesterday, it was just a disaster. There was a stretch he bogeyed three out of four holes and just kind of snowballed from there.
Did Bryson make the cut?
No. He played with Ricky the first two rounds, and he was – I think he ended up seven over after the first 2 days. He was – I think he's so in his own head right now.
Yeah.
I said that neither Notre Dame or Indiana will make the college football playoff. I'm probably more hopeful about that than anything else because I think both will be pretty good. I think Notre Dame's going to be really good.
I do too.
I said Thad Matta would retire after this season. Technically, I was kind of correct, I guess. I don't know if he was let go or retired, but he's not at Butler anymore.
I would imagine he's retired. I'll give you that one. Unless he comes back.
Yeah, he's still got time. Yeah. I said Danny Hurley would leave UConn for the NBA. It's not looking like that'll happen, but there's still time. Yeah. I said Scottie Scheffler would not win a major. He's over two. There's still the U.S. Open and the British Open to go, and he'll be the favorite in both, but he hasn't won them yet. I said the Bills will miss the playoffs. Hopefully. Probably not going to happen, but I said the Pacers would get the number one overall draft pick. The NBA draft did not happen.
Yeah.
They did not get a single pick at the first round. So Notre Dame quarterback C.J. Carr will win the Heisman Trophy. We'll see on that one.
I think that's a good pick.
I said the Big Ten's national championship streak in football will continue. They'll get a handful of teams. Not a handful, but three teams you would think at least in the college football playoff probably. I said Alex Palou will repeat as Indy 500 champion. We'll find out this Sunday if that comes to fruition or not. I said someone in MLB will hit over 350 this season. Don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I said there'll be a, I said there would be a first time national champion in college basketball, which did not happen because Michigan cut down the nets.
You're really glitchy, and I don't know if it's on my end. I don't know if you want to get out and get back in real quick, and I'll do my bold predictions and see if that helps.
So sure.
We'll see that. My 26 bold predictions for 2026. Neither number one seed in the NFL playoffs will win a game. I was very wrong, as the Broncos made it to the AFC Championship, and the Seahawks ended up winning the Super Bowl. So I was very wrong. Big Ten wins a national title in both football and basketball. I was very correct on that one. As IU, surprisingly, won the football, and Michigan won in basketball. Bryson DeChambeau will win the Masters. I was very wrong on that one.
Didn't make the cut.
As he didn't make the cut, yeah. Aaron Rodgers finally retires. I was wrong on that one, but I think later on I said the Steelers hire him. I did. The Steelers hire McCarthy and Rodgers come back.
You so double-dipped on discount double-check there.
I hedged my bets, and I got at least one of them correct.
You did. You did.
So I'll take that one. Next season is Andy Reid's last.
I hope you're right.
I wouldn't be surprised. At least half of the Final Four field will be from the Big Ten. I got that one right. Man, I'm rolling through these. there will be another team that goes worst to first in the NFL. Lions are the easy pick, but my pick is New Orleans. But that was not part of it. I remember saying that. Cubs win the NL Central. They're currently winning it. Congress creates guidelines for NIL. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I think the 5-for-5 eligibility thing is going to be on the table on Friday.
Yeah, well, today we see a 26-year-old from Europe that's going to come try to come to LSU, yeah, who has legit been a veteran over in Europe. Like, what are we doing?
Taken 47th overall in the 2020 NBA draft. Yeah, Will Wade and Nate Oates are scummy. Yeah. But they're playing within the rules currently.
They are. So the rules are so messed up.
Yeah. I said Tony Romo will finally get demoted to a different CBS crew. I don't think that's going to happen. Dodgers three-peat, likely, I would even say, or possible. Shohei does not win MVP. I think the MVP right now might be Kyle Schwarber. He is the fastest player ever to 20 homers.
And I know I put this in our group message. That guy shocked me with the career he's had. And I know it's basically been just as a hitter and a DH has helped him, but still, he's had a way better career and a longer career than I thought he would. I mean,
If you were to tell me back in 2015 that Schwarber would have, you know, Rizzo had a great career. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. He's been every bit as good, if not better, than Schwarber. But if you would tell me that Schwarber would be still the only one that's really playing that much in 2026, I'd call you crazy. And sure enough, he's been arguably the best one. Seattle Seahawks win the Super Bowl.
Got that one.
That was another one where my first one I had is neither number one seed will win a playoff game.
I didn't catch that. You double dipped that one.
Nebraska loses in the first round of the NCAA tourney. That was wishful thinking. St. Louis Cardinals finished last in the NL Central. There's a long way to go, and I wouldn't be surprised if they get there.
Yeah, we talked major trash about them when you made that.
I know.
Prediction.
I know. Blue Jays missed the playoffs after winning the American League last year. That's on pace.
Mm-hmm.
A team in the NFL goes first to worst. I had a worst to first, but also first to worst. And I didn't give a team, but I think it's probably going to be the Bears.
I was going to say, any teams on your radar, especially after the schedule release came out?
Yeah.
Bears. They're getting a lot of hype.
Yeah. This one was wrong. Mendoza does not go number one. Tua and Tyreek are both cut before the new league year in March. I think I got that one right.
I gave it to you. So. Yeah.
Two or less Big Ten basketball coaches get fired. Did we have a single one get fired?
I don't think we did.
I don't think we did. I got that one right. Heck yeah. Keaton Wagler becomes and this was bold at the time because
it was.
It was between Wagler and Steinbach, and there's a couple other guys. But I said Keaton Wagler becomes the first freshman. I got that wrong. I was thinking first freshman to win freshman of the year. I'm like, I always had a bunch of freshmen. It becomes first freshman to win Big Ten player of the year. He was in the top five, though.
And at that time, he was right there in the mix. So.
Yeah, he was. I think this was later on. I think this was after the 46-pointer because this is number 22 on
the list.
It was probably. Arizona gets through the regular season undefeated. They did not.
Made the Final Four, but
they did. Got killed in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
we will see a six seed or worse make the Final Four. That was a bad, that was a whiff.
That could be a bold one every year going forward.
Yeah, because it's getting more difficult every single year. Patriots missed the playoffs this year after making the Super Bowl. All this Vrabel.
I was going to say, some distractions there.
Distraction, good, good. I could see some regression because they had a very easy schedule last year, and they won a lot of close games.
And I'm not just saying this as a Bronco fan. They got to play the AFC Championship against the backup quarterback.
100%.
Yeah. You know?
My last one here was the Big Ten wins back-to-back Heismans. I don't even know who could possibly. Jeremiah Smith.
I was going to say Jeremiah Smith. And there's like five guys on Ohio State you probably.
Yeah, their quarterback even. Saiyan could be a guy as well.
Oh, yeah, Julian Saiyan, yeah.
Yeah,
and then of course, we got Indiana's quarterback could get hot, even though he turns it over a lot, or did as previous.
Yeah, yeah, he'll be the best quarterback we've ever seen at Indiana.
I think that guy just graduated, but heck.
Nah, never know.
They keep defying.
They get better every single year, clearly, under six. But this actually goes to my blind rank a little bit. We were talking NBA, and I meant to do it afterwards. But Madison Square Garden is, you know, an iconic arena.
Yep.
So I got five iconic stadium/arenas here. Okay. I want you to rank them.
How can I rank them?
Based on how iconic they are.
Okay, I didn't know if you want me to do that or my interest in going there.
Interest in going there. You've been to.
I've been to the Garden.
You've been to at least two of these on this list. I know.
So, okay.
Starting with Wembley.
Yeah, Wembley Stadium. I would actually like to go there to watch an AEW wrestling event. They run a big event over there. Well, they have three of the last 4 years. So I'd like to do that. I don't know about a soccer game, but so this is tough because I'm not really right. Because if I'm talking to AEW, it might be number one. But if we're going to hold it to actual sports, not sports entertainment, and I'm talking soccer, I still think it'd be a neat venue to go to. But I'll put it at four.
Okay. Fenway Park.
Fenway's got to be up there. I mean, I've been to Wrigley. I've been to New Yankee Stadium. I've never been to Boston.
Yeah. So old Yankee Stadium might have been on the list. New one, not so much.
I agree. I'll put Fenway at three.
Tokyo Dome.
Another one as a big wrestling fan I would like. not so much baseball, but man, I should have went Wembley, Tokyo Dome 1 and 2. But I'll put it at five, I guess.
All right. Madison Square Garden.
Been there. Do definitely go back. But just because I've been there, I'll put it at number two. But I mean, you said there was two I've been on. So number one, I've probably been to too. So.
You have. Wrigley.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been there. It's been creeping up on about a decade.
Was that for a game?
No, I went to a Cardinals game. In.
Oh, that's right. You sat rooftop.
2017, I think it was.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I've been to a concert in 2021, Green Day Fall Out Boy Weezer concert, with our good buddy Evan Webb. But, no, good list. I would like to go to all those, all the three I haven't been to, I'd like to, but like I said, two of them for wrestling shows, not for, soccer or Japanese baseball. But Fenway would be really cool to see a game at. Have you been Fenway? You've been to Fenway, right?
I have not been for a game. I took a tour of Fenway in the middle of December in 2014. We're just driving through and saw tours for $17. I'm like, we got to do that, right?
I'm sure that did. Casas Rose.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I think Wrigley even at that time was like $40 or $50 to do it. And Fenway, $17. Sign us up. So that was cool. We got to go in like the clubhouse and dugout.
How many different stadiums have you seen a game in? I think I've asked you this before.
Baseball?
Yeah.
I think I'm up to 16 or 17.
Oh, so you're 15, either 16. you're over halfway there?
Yeah, I don't think I've been to one that's been torn down yet. I don't think so. I never got to the old Bush, never got to the old Yankee.
You didn't go to one of Cincinnati's? I don't know what year.
Didn't go to the old Cincinnati. That was torn down, I think, 2002.
Okay.
I think that was their last year. Yeah, 2003 was the first year Great American. I went to a game at Great American their first year they were open.
And you didn't get to Three Rivers?
Never got to Three Rivers. Didn't get to Philadelphia's old one, the bank. Not the bank. Veterans. Yeah. I think it was Veterans.
Yeah.
Never got to Shea. Never got to Turner Field.
Never got to the Metrodome.
Never got to the Metrodome. Never got to Old Comiskey.
Is the next one coming down? Is it going to be Kauffman? Is that the next stadium that we know that's coming down eventually because they're getting a new one?
I think.
Because the Chiefs are getting a new stadium too and moving.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Obviously, they're building the one in Vegas.
Yes. Yeah,
but right. The next one on the dock, I mean, you look at the stadiums around baseball, there's not many that you'd really tear down and start over right now. They're all pretty state-of-the-art. Obviously, you have the old ones in Fenway and Dodger and Wrigley, but those are iconic, and they're not going to tear those down. They're just going to keep upgrading them. But
and sorry if you said this and I missed it. Have you been to Progressive in Cleveland?
Have not. No. We moved away from there when I was, I think, 18 months. And I don't think
I mean, it was the Jake then.
Yeah, I don't even think it was the Jake then.
It was something else.
Their previous stadium.
And then they built.
I'm pretty sure, but yeah. I don't know. I'd have to ask my mom or dad. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe they took me. I don't remember.
Yeah. But you've of course. Wait, have you been to the White Sox stadium?
Have not. No. Okay. I've literally driven by that stadium more times than I've probably been to Wrigley. Yeah. I've been to Wrigley probably 40 plus times or something like that. But never have stepped.
So I was about to say, you've of course been to both Chicago, been to Detroit, been to St. Louis.
Mm, I've been to Detroit, wow. St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. Miller Park. I've been to all of them in the NL the
division.
Central.
Yeah,
been to Arizona, been to Seattle, been to Tropicana, been to Yankee Stadium. I know there's more that I've been to. Can't think of them though. But yeah.
You went to Angels, right?
Angels, yep. There's one I forgot for sure. So at least that's probably 12.
Probably didn't wear your 13. Freaking Torii Hunter shirt out there.
No, I didn't. I'm trying. It was cool. That was before Shohei Ohtani was Shohei Ohtani. He did hit a homer that game though. So I can always say I saw Shohei hit a homer.
That's cool.
But yeah.
And that is the blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2026, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. So you need to look no further. Let them be your one source print and promotional company today. By giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. You want to get educated real quick before we move on to talk a little either NFL or golf or whatever direction we're going to go? We plan these pods out so well, everybody, in advance. All right, let's talk about some sport events that have happened on May 18th. Interesting one here. On this day, 1912, the Philadelphia Athletics beat the Detroit Tigers 24-2. The Tigers were using amateur players in protest of Ty Cobb's suspension from the game.
Huh. Yeah, Ty Cobb was not a very nice guy.
We've said that a lot on this podcast.
Yes, we have.
That's very true. A lot of Kentucky Derby. A lot of old school MLB stuff. On this day, 1947, MLB Philadelphia A's catcher Warren Rosar caught his 147th game without an error.
That's pretty good. That's real good.
Not bad at all. Some Preakness. Some more Preakness. On this day, 1971, who won the fourth ABA championship?
71 in the ABA. Was it the Nets? Were they in the ABA?
They were in the ABA, but it was the Stars. The Utah Stars beat the Kentucky Colonels 4-3.
Hmm. All right.
A lot of Preakness. I was saying 1990, Chicago Cubs' Ryne Sandberg ended his second base record of 123 airless games.
Yeah, he's a pretty good one. He no longer has the Cubs record. It's pretty sure it's Darwin Barney, because Barney, I think, came real close to the major league record, which had been set later on. But, yeah.
Don't know if this is still true, but this is pretty cool. On this day in 2001, 101-year-old Harold Stilson became the oldest golfer to record a hole-in-one when he aced the 108-yard par 3 16th hole at Deerfield Country Club, Florida.
How old was he?
Says 101.
Oh, 101.
Yep.
Dang.
I can't believe he could hit 108 yards at the age of 101.
There's no way I could hit 108 yards straight. That's for sure. I might be able to hit it
108. I've seen you hit it over 108 yards.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I have.
But on day 2004, Arizona Diamondbacks pitcher Randy Johnson became the 16th pitcher to throw a perfect game. That was in a 2-0 win against the Braves. I remember watching that live with my dad. We started watching because it was on TBS. And when the Braves were still in the Superstation, we started watching about the seventh inning and watched the rest of it. So
I remember the catcher just jumping up and down like crazy. And
would that been Damian Miller? Would Damian Miller been?
No, he was actually a Cub.
Was he Cub at that time?
Okay. I don't remember what the catcher's name was, but he was jumping up and down, and Randy's looking at him like, "You're an idiot," but he's smiling. But Randy was a pretty stoic guy.
He didn't smile too much back then.
Yeah. He's a professional photographer now.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
And Ken Griffey Jr. too, right?
Yeah. Randy's logo for his company is a dead bird.
Fitting.
An upside down bird. Yep.
Fitting. On the day in 2021, Detroit Tiger pitcher Spencer Turnbull no hit the Mariners 5-0 Comerica Park.
I had no idea that guy threw a no hitter. I don't remember that one at all.
I don't either.
Don't see too many no hitters anymore.
You don't.
No.
And on this day last year, who won the PGA Championship?
Was it Scotty? I don't know.
It was Scotty Scheffler claiming his third major title by 5 strokes over Bryson DeChambeau, Harris English, and Davis Riley.
Harris English, yeah,
kind of runaway last year. And yesterday's wasn't at the very end, but wasn't really a runaway. At one point yesterday, there was more guys within a shot or two that I'd ever seen in a major championship. But Aaron Rye ended up winning by 3, which I'll hit on here in a minute.
That was his first, wasn't it?
Yep, I believe only his second tour win. So that's on this day's segment brought to you by, like it is every week, Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on systems, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you and your business with your digital marketing. Like I mentioned, Aaron Rye, PGA champion for 2026. Very interesting guy. He won with a total score of 9 under par. Then behind him, John Rahm and Alex Smalley were at 6 under. So he wins by 3 strokes. He's the first Englishman, I believe, to win a PGA championship, or the first one in a long time. Like I said, it's always second win on tour. He wears 2 golf gloves, not 1. He has got made fun of in the past for putting iron covers on his irons. Usually only bad golfers do that because it just kind of looks nerdy. Yeah. But it's actually a really cool story why he does. He grew up, his parents put a lot of money into him to get him golf, bought him a nice set of clubs, and he wanted to take care of those clubs. So he'd always put the iron covers on his irons and just kept it going. Uses tees that are sold on an infomercial. I mean, this dude just like, he has a very unorthodox, unique swing. He has no social media. He's just kind of an everyday dude, but he's a good player. One of the best ball strikers on the world. And now, I mean, the Ryder Cup doesn't happen again until next year, but you got to think he'll probably be in the mix come next year to get a spot on another loaded European squad. Good luck to the U.S. going overseas again next year, which they haven't won overseas, I don't think, in our lifetime. But yeah, there were some other big names. Justin Thomas finished tied for 4th. He was out early yesterday and shot 5 under par. And for a long time, that was winning. And he waited around. Of course, didn't end up winning. Ludvig Åberg was right there, tied for 4th. The Livs, Cam Smith tied for 7th. So yeah, John Rahm tied for 2nd. Cam Smith tied for 7th. So Liv did have some guys in the mix. Rory tied for 7th. Xander Schauffele, Patrick Reed tied for 10th. Justin Rose tied for 10th. But historically, the PGA Championship is the one major out of all four that you kind of have more no names, if you will, win it than the others. I don't know why that is, but this is the first what I'd call no name, even though Aaron Rye is a good player, to win it since the PGA Championship moved back from August to May.
I'd never heard of Aaron Rye until yesterday.
I didn't know a lot about him going into this week. It was a name, you know, I knew Aaron Rye's name, but I couldn't told you too much besides always won one time.
Yeah.
Learned a lot more of him after yesterday's round, game final, obviously. But yeah, interesting week. I mean, 9-under par, and he didn't get 9-under par until towards the end of the day. I mean, he shot 5-under yesterday. I mean, this golf course flexed its muscles all week long and really made it tough. So I'm looking forward to a major going back to Aronimink Golf Club outside of Philadelphia one of these days. I doubt it's on the schedule for quite a while because they schedule them so far out in advance. But looking at some other big names that were cut, well, of course, we said Bryson DeChambeau missed the cut. Tommy Fleetwood missed the cut. Gary Woodland missed the cut. J.J. Spahn missed the cut. Victor Hovland, who's having a really bad year, missed the cut. Keegan Bradley missed the cut. Adam Scott missed the cut. The other big names.
I wonder how the guys that missed the cut, especially bigger names, how they react. They're like, "Ah, that sucked this week. Let's go home and figure it out." Or do they pout? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it. That's a good question. It probably depends on how their season's going up to that date, or if they've won before or not. Yeah, there's probably a lot of factors that go into it. That's a really good question, though, because there's so many different personalities out there, too. I mean, I think Rory has become kind of a pouter.
Yeah, he
used to not be. And I mean, he's yelling at fans all the time. And not only yelling at him, he F-bombed a guy yesterday. And I know he gets a lot of mean things said to him. A lot of the foreign players do. Just because they kick our tail in the Ryder Cup, so our fans think it's okay to yell stuff at them, which it's not. But you still gotta hold your composure. I mean, especially when you're Rory McIlroy and you're in that spotlight, a lot of kids look up to you, man.
Yeah,
like hold yourself to a higher guard. But
definitely.
But yeah, the U.S. Open will be about a month away. It's usually Father's Day weekend, I believe. That's fallen in so we'll see. That's usually the toughest of the four majors to win. But so we'll see. But last thing I kind of wanted to hit on, NFL schedule released came out last Thursday, which I laughed because, you know, they were coming out with this TV special at 8 o'clock. About every single NFL team. Screw you. At 7:50, they went live with their schedule release videos, which are always fun to watch.
I honestly completely forgot that the schedule had been released.
Well, your team doesn't have too many primetime games. They might actually have zero.
Not too many, meaning zero. They have zero.
I didn't know if they had one Thursday nighter. Every team used to have to be on Thursday night, but I think they changed that rule.
100% okay with me. I'd much rather, even when they're good, I'd much rather watch them play at noon Central Time than have to stay up till 10:30.
Right. Yeah.
Then you're amped up because they always lose the prime timers.
Yeah.
Can't sleep. So no, that's okay with me. I'm very okay with them never getting a prime timer again.
In the first 6 weeks, the Broncos have a Monday night, a Sunday night, a Thursday night, and they also play on Black Friday and on Christmas. Lands on a Friday. Technically, they have three. I mean, but really, I think they have five because Black Friday, there's one game, they're at Pittsburgh, and then Christmas Day, they're hosting the Bills, and there's three games on Christmas this year.
Those are special events anyway.
Yes.
If they don't call them prime time, they're essentially prime time.
And they can be flexed the more. I know their last two against New England, the Chargers, to be determined because that's when the Saturday games come into play, too.
So, I don't think that Patriots one's going to be because I don't think Patriots are going to make the playoffs.
You're right. I don't like going to New England week 17, where it's going to be probably cold and maybe snowy, but is what it is. Yeah. Is what it is. But no, it always to me just signifies, you know, even though we're in May and football doesn't, the games don't start till September, it is still kind of in one way around the corner.
From now really until camp starts, it's kind of their actual off season.
You're right.
You kind of catch your breath a little bit, but
you're always good for Aaron Rodgers making his decision on what he's going to do.
He just did Saturday, so.
So
coming back.
Yeah. So, but Other than that, I don't have a whole lot unless you got anything else.
No, I'm trying to think. The NBA Combine was this past week as well. I think we even talked about it a little bit on Monday.
I think I mentioned that how Trey Koppenren did so well in the G League one. He got an invite to the NBA one, but then he was hurt with an ankle. So he didn't.
Yeah, I saw it was mainly measurements. They had some 5-on-5 stuff with probably fringe sort of players out there, like Kylan Boswell played in that. Sort of thing. Nick Martinelli as well. Mm-hmm. I was not a spray. I think Braden was in it too. And TKR.
Yep, he played
stuff. So probably second round ish picks, if anything. But
what's the draft? June something.
It's June. Yeah, I would say it's late June.
Because you gotta wait for the files to get over.
Yeah,
course,
I think the deadline to pull out is next Wednesday of the draft. So
and you know how we always talk about the longevity and the length of the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
The NHL playoffs, there's a game 7 tonight between the Canadiens and Sabres still to figure out who's going to the Eastern Conference finals.
Jeez.
Where's the West? The West is already set with Colorado and Vegas.
They start before the NBA playoffs too, don't they?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Because the East, you got Carolina and the Hurricanes are just waiting for the Sabres or the Canadiens. If the Sabres win, the streak continues going back to 93 of a Canadian team not winning.
I will say you probably need more time to recover from a hockey game.
Yeah, that's true.
NBA, so there's probably more games time in between anyway.
But. True, but and there's some lengthy flights too.
Who's the game 7 next? I still need to book it. I know nothing about hockey.
Sabres and Canadians.
Are the Canadians the only Canadian team left?
All right. Yep.
This will be the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week. I think the streak lasts. 1993 was the last
with the Canadian
team to win an NHL Stanley Cup, I should say. Stanley Cup. I think it continues. Sabres win tonight. So, J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers, Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact us 219-869-4561. Book it!
I hope you're right. I just think it'd be funny.
I do too.
Yep.
I do too.
All right. Birdie or Bo? Well, one more thing. One more thing real quick. It's technically a sport. MMA is technically a sport. Ronda Rousey.
I saw
her over Gina Carano. Carano hadn't fought a fight in 16 years. Rousey was 9 or 10 years. Rousey made her tap out in 17 seconds.
Yeah, 17 seconds longer than I would have.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the moment she would have tried to hook the arm bar, I'm tapping. I wouldn't even let her get it into.
No, I'm just. The moment she charges at me, I'm done.
You know, I stayed up because I just was interested in that fight. That was the only fight I cared about on this MVP, this new Jake Paul-backed promotion that's trying, you know, Netflix first MMA event, blah, blah, blah. So I was trying to stay up. I fell asleep in the fight before. And somehow I woke up right when Ronda Rousey was making her entrance to the cage. Don't know how. Yeah, I just somehow woke up, and then the fight only lasted 17 seconds. I could go right back to sleep. So, but it was kind of got a lot of mixed takes out there in social media world. But she said she's done. She said she's done now. So
I'm sure it wasn't ideal for the event for it to end.
No, I'm sure it had tons of eyeballs.
Yeah,
but it probably is not good for the future of that sport. But both ladies got paid big times.
So oh yeah,
good on
them.
They
were all hugging and buddy buddy right after. Right after.
Good on them. Yeah. Well, Gina, she walked so Ronda Rousey could run. So type of thing. So gotcha. All right, back to the birdie or bogey question: Which U.S. city is the least populated city to have two teams of the big four major professional leagues?
Exactly two. Two cities pops into my brain. One I'm 100% certain has less people, so I'm gonna have to roll with it, and that's Salt Lake City.
You got a birdie, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
The Jazz and the Utah Mammoth, who were the Phoenix Coyotes until last year.
I would not have known that, except I saw the Mammoth pop up on the screen a week or two ago, and I asked you guys. I had no idea.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know you did.
And then you said something on this day that
said, I know about something. The Utah Stars.
I'm like, Salt
Right when I said it, I'm like, gosh dang it, I've given them a clue.
My guess was going to be New Orleans with the Saints and the Pelicans.
Ooh, yeah.
They've got to be right there, close to, I would say, Salt Lake City, obviously.
I think is New Orleans bigger than Indianapolis?
I don't think so. I think Indianapolis is close to a million people now.
Okay.
Maybe it is bigger. I don't really know.
Okay. But, I don't know.
I got myself. I'm only three strokes back now. I'm on the comeback trail. We'll see how long that lasts. But thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.